go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and change gears a little bit and talk for just a couple of weeks. It's not going to be an intense study, but just an introduction to dispensations. You might say, well, what's a dispensation? We're going to look at that here in a moment. It's actually a Bible word. It's not something that we made up as Bible-believing Baptists. So who would read 2 Timothy 2:15 to get us introduced to dispensations this morning? Beth?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
People might say, well, that's just a one little phrase, but it's an important phrase because it's included in the exhortation for all Christians to study God's word, right? And he finishes that exhortation by telling us how important it is that we rightly divide the word. Now, there are people out there who would say that there's no such thing as dispensations, just this made-up thing. But the truth is, all Christians believe in at least two. Old Testament and New Testament. Would we agree on that? Have you ever met a Christian that takes a lamb to Jerusalem to have the priest slay it for him? I haven't. But if there's not two dispensations, then they should be, right? Because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to sacrifice animals. Why don't we sacrifice animals? Beth? Why do we not need to anymore? Exactly, because Jesus died. And the Bible says that the law was nailed to the cross in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's why it's called a New Testament, because the testator died. Praise God, he came back from the dead on Easter. But everybody believes in at least two dispensations, Old and New Testament. But we find ourselves now. And let's introduce ourselves to the Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, because Paul actually names the dispensation that we are in now in Ephesians chapter 3. Anybody know the name of this dispensation before we get there? You cheat? Philip? The grace of God. This is called the dispensation of the grace of God. It's a unique dispensation for a lot of reasons, and we'll talk about those. Who would read verse 2? Philip?
If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you.
Okay. So Paul says, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is what given me to you word. If you study it out, Paul makes it very clear that the dispensation of the grace of God was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. Not one of them knew about it. Was never mentioned. Why? Well, it's a mystery, for one reason. But also, whenever God does something, he always does it perfectly. Remember when Jesus came to the earth, what's the first thing he preached? Anybody remember? He preached the same thing John the Baptist preached. Repent for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anybody know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? We've talked about this. Besides the fact that they're spelled different. The easiest way to remember is heaven is a physical, literal place, and God is a spirit. That's what always helps me to remember the difference. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a physical, literal kingdom. What were the Jews expecting and waiting for and no new was coming based on Old Testament prophecies? A kingdom. When Jesus came, that's what they were waiting for. That's what they wanted. They weren't looking for a Savior. They were looking for a kingdom. Matter of fact, right before he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, the disciples came to him and says, when is the kingdom coming? Jesus said, it's going to be a while, basically. So, when Jesus first came, he offered the Jews the kingdom. And we'll talk more about this. Which means that the church was a maybe. What do I mean by that? In other words, if the Jews would have repented and accepted Jesus as their Messiah, his offer was literal. He would have set up his kingdom. And there wouldn't have been a church, and we wouldn't be here. But God knew in advance, because God knows all things, and time means nothing to God, that they were going to reject Jesus, which they did, and the kingdom offer was withdrawn until way in the future, and in came a new dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God. Look at Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul even refers to our gospel in this same way. Acts chapter 20, who would read verse 24? The volunteers? Acts 20, 24. Philip, thank you.
None of these things move me. You can count on my life here unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
There it is again. He called it the dispensation of the grace of God. Now he refers to the gospel as the gospel of the grace of God. Does that mean that there's more than one gospel in the Bible? Well, is there? In Revelation, we read about the everlasting gospel that was preached by the angels. Exactly. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do we preach that when we go to talk to people about Jesus? Do we say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? No. Because the kingdom of heaven isn't at hand. Tribulation's at hand, but the kingdom of heaven isn't. We preach, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And thou shalt be saved. Because this is a different dispensation. That was a different gospel. That was the gospel of the kingdom. And there will be the everlasting gospel in Revelation. So, Paul refers to this, and I'm just introducing you to the word dispensation. If you look it up, what does it mean? It means stewardship or an administration of a time period. That's what the word dispensation means. So, when we talk about a dispensation, we're not saying that God changes, because God never changes. He says so in His word. He says, I'm the God of all flesh. I change not. God doesn't change, but the way God deals with man does change through time, through human history. The rules change, if you will, and they have changed multiple times, as we'll see. So Paul makes it very clear that a dispensation was given to him, the one we find ourselves in now, the dispensation of the grace of God. There's a lot of very exciting and unique things about this dispensation, which we'll talk about more. Can anybody think of any? Any exciting rules, if you will, about this dispensation, or special blessings about this dispensation that are unique? Can you think of one? Having to do with, yes? Yes. The permanent indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Do you see that in the Old Testament? It's not there. Yeah, he would come on people at times and give them his presence. He gave Samson supernatural strength, but then he would leave too. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So he would come on people and he would leave. But something on the day of Pentecost changed, didn't it? He came and permanently indwelt us and made us God's temple. And the Bible says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Once he comes upon us, he's not going to leave until we leave. Praise God. So we don't have to pray like David, take not the Holy Spirit from me, because God won't. We're sealed. That is something unique about this dispensation. Can you think of anything else? Philip. Amen. In the Old Testament, you couldn't just enter the Holy of Holies. You had to be Aaron's descendant, and you could only do it once a year. I'm talking about the one here on earth. But when Jesus died on the cross, as Philip said, the veil was rent from top to bottom, and that veil was thick. Man couldn't rip that. But God ripped it to say, the veil is gone. And we're told that we, as believers bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, have access to the throne of Almighty God. We enter the Holy of Holies every time we pray because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Old Testament saints couldn't do that. They had to go through a priest. We don't. We do. I guess we do, but our priest is Jesus. Amen? And he's in heaven interceding for us. But we don't have to go through an earthly priest. So that's unique as well. Anything else you can think of about this dispensation that's unique? Jackie?
We don't have to make sacrifices.
That's right. Sacrifice once for all, the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10. So those are just a few things, and we'll look at others. I just wanted to introduce you to the word, which is in the Bible multiple times. The word means dispensation or stewardship of or administration of a time period. And God used the word to tell us that there are different time periods where God deals with man in different ways. We all believe in dispensations. It's just a matter of identifying them. For example, would there not be at least one before and one after the fall? Did things change before and after the fall? Of course they did. Before the fall, God walked with man in the cool of the day. After the fall, God cursed the earth. Man no longer had access to the garden. Matter of fact, he put angels there to protect or keep man out. And the rules changed. He laid the rules out there in Genesis chapter 3, didn't he? So there's two that we find instantly. What about when God came and met Moses on the top of the mountain and gave him the law? Did things change? Absolutely. Prior to then, there was no written law. Man was just basically had to go what most people call it the age of conscience. They didn't have the written word until God gave it to Moses. So things definitely changed then. And we already talked about things definitely changed on Pentecost when the church began. And are things going to change when the church leaves and the Antichrist takes over? You bet they are. So that's definitely a different dispensation. And then are things going to change when Jesus moves all the geography around, gets rid of the curse, and sets up a kingdom and rules and reigns from Jerusalem? Yep. So you can see it's pretty easy to identify them even. And that's what we're going to do in this class, is we're going to identify them, talk about each one, and that'll be about it. So any thoughts or questions before we dive into the first chart? Just as an introduction. Okay, I'm going to pull it up here. Hopefully this will work. Because it's one of those charts that we're not going to cover in 5 minutes. All right. What happened? Did it go to sleep? Okay, give it a second to wake up. It's coming. It really is. All right, so three things that we must always be careful about when we talk about rightly dividing the word is misinterpretation, misapplication, and dislocation. And we're going to talk more about these. So misinterpretation, that one's obvious. The Bible says it's of no private interpretation, 2 Peter chapter 1. I tell people, I said, there's really only one interpretation of the passage, and that's the right one. Amen? We just have to find it. By following God's rules of comparing Scripture with Scripture, looking at the context, and so forth. Misapplication. In other words, you don't take a passage that's designed for the Jews and apply it to the church. A good example would be the Sabbath. Why do we go to church on Sunday and not Saturday? We talked about this a couple weeks ago when Mrs. Scott asked her question, didn't we? Because the Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. So we can't take that and stick it in the church. That's misapplication. And then dislocation, very similar to misapplication, which we'll talk more about. Okay. See, that's not that bad. So what we have here are the dispensations that we're going to be discussing.
but they're kind of hard to see.
Thank you, Steve.
See if maybe if I can zoom in a little bit. That help?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if we're going to talk about dispensations, here we have number one, we're going to call that innocence. Right here. If you want to get fancy, you can call it the Edenic, after Eden. But, you know, people like to come up with these fancy theological words. Then number two, we're going to call this one conscience. And then number three, and we're going to go through these, we're going to call this one human government. So what we're saying is that, I forgot to mention the flood. Did things change after the flood? Yes. The way God dealt with man changed. He gave some extra rules or laws, if you will. So we have pre-fall, post-fall, and then post-flood. Those are pretty basic. And then what comes after that? The call of Abraham. Did things change after God called Abraham? They did. Because now God called out a new people called Israel. They weren't called Israel yet, but he said, I'm going to build a new people from you, Abraham. And they're going to be my special people. And they're going to have some special blessings. I'm going to give them some special guidelines and so forth. But that all happened way before Moses, did it not? But things did change when God called Abraham. So that's why we call this one family. In other words, the family of Abraham. Starts with Abraham, and then the Bible's all about Abraham and his descendants, right? Israel and on down the line. I mean, Isaac and then Israel and so forth. This one we'll call the law. That one's obvious. Because that everything changed when God gave Moses the law. Up to that point, Israel didn't have a law. They had some rules that were given after the fall, that were given after the flood. But they didn't have all the do's and don'ts. They just weren't written down yet. They didn't have them. But after the law, it was given to Moses up on the mountain, they did. And then, of course, comes grace, which we've already discussed, which started with Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit began to permanently indwell. And that is the age, the dispensation we find ourselves in now. Then is going to come this one here, which is called judgment. Why would it be called judgment? Tribulation period. That's what it's about, right? The wrath of God. Jacob's trouble. And then comes the millennial age. Or the kingdom, you can call it different things, but after the tribulation comes the kingdom. Now, often people will not give the tribulation its own dispensation, but they will say that it is an extension of the law dispensation, because it's still Jewish. But it's up to you. There's no right or wrong answer, by the way, on this. So there are your dispensations: human government, family, the law, grace, judgment, and the kingdom. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I feel like I'm missing one. I've got them written down here. Innocence, conscience, human government. Oh, some people... Oh, yeah, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, all right, we're right. So innocence is number one, conscience is number two, human government is number three, family is number four, law is number five, and we find ourselves in number six.
And I, like I say, people often don't give the tribulation its own because they say it's an extension of the Jewish one. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's up to you whether you give it its own. They don't like two because they like the kingdom to be number seven. Why would that be? Why would people want kingdom to be number seven? Because first of all, it's God's perfect number, right? But second of all, the seventh day God rested. And isn't it a time of rest for the earth? So people like the kingdom to be the seventh dispensation. That's why they say, well, let's not give the tribulation its own number because then the kingdom's eight. So it's not that important that it be seven. But we're going to talk about each of these, just introduce you to each one, and then we will have had a look at dispensations. And we're also going to have a look at what the prophets saw in the Old Testament, how they saw different pieces of each one, but they never saw the church. Any questions?